Father, we come before you asking that you would give us insight as to Christmas, how we are to celebrate it as believers, and insight as to how the world treats Christmas. We pray that we would not be stumbling to those who are around us, but we would be a blessing in the way that we live our lives, especially concerning the celebration that is upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Christmas, you probably have your own traditions that you operate with in your household. You probably bake cookies, or you love receiving cookies. You may buy candy, or you might actually make chocolates, something like that. You may get popcorn balls or string popcorn on a string and put it on a tree. You may have a tree. You may not have a tree. You may decorate it. You may have a white flock tree with all blue on it. That's what I had growing up. We'd have that every year, a white flock tree with blue balls and blue lights everywhere. It was kind of pretty, but we don't have that now. We have a different tree now. You may have a time where a family comes over, like in our house. We try to, not this year because of the flood that has come to us, but we decorate cookies, you know, things like that, and everybody comes over, and there's no wassailing going on, but we have a good time with each other. And then Christmas morning, we'll pull out the scriptures, we'll read that, we pray, we give thanks for what God has given us. And so we have our traditions just like you might have your traditions. But if somebody came here from Mars, if there were life on Mars — they think that there is, but not intelligent life — but if somebody came here from Mars and they landed here and they saw the celebration of Christmas and they're going around the world and they said, well, there's different things going on around the world. What is Christmas exactly? Well, if you're in the United States, one of the places that you would probably stop to get your definition of what Christmas is Hollywood. I looked it up. There is 27 pages of Christmas programs on television. Over the years, there's 27 pages, and I'm sure it's not exhaustive. Here is Hollywood's idea of Christmas according to the television episodes. Some of these you may watch or have watched in the past. Crime dramas and mysteries. Hill Street Blues. Santa Claustrophobia. McLeod, 'Twas the Fight Before Christmas. The Mentalist. Jolly Red Elf. Remington Steele. Dancer, Prancer, Donner, and Steele. SWAT. Silent Night, Deadly Night. Adam 12. Log 122. Christmas. The Yellow Dump Truck. Cagney and Lacey, Play It Again, Santa, The Closer. You Have the Right to Remain Jolly. Diagnosis, Murder. Santa Claude. Dragnet, the Big 22 Rifle for Christmas. Heart to Heart, 'Tis the Season to be Murdered. Magnum P.I., Operation Silent Night. Monk, Mr. Monk and the Man Who Shot Santa. NCIS Los Angeles, You Better Watch Out. Profiler, Home for the Homicide. Psych, The Polarizing Express, Scarecrow and Mrs. King, Santa Got a Brand New Bag, Without a Trace, Cause and Effect, Medical Dramas, ER, Homeless for the Holidays, Do You See What I See, How the Finch Stole Christmas, Grey's Anatomy, Holidays, D-A-Z-E, House, It's a Wonderful Lie, Strong Medicine, We Wish You a Merry Christmeth, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Jingle Bells Effect, The $6 Million Man, The Bionic, Christmas Carol, Sliders, Seasons Greetings, G-R-E-E-D-I-N-G-S, True Calling, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, Again, Xena, Warrior Princess, A Solstice Carol, Eureka, Do You See What I See, Highway to Heaven, Another Song for Christmas, Lois and Clark, Seasons Greetings, G-R-E-E-D-I-N-G-S, Smallville, Lexmas, The X-Files, How the Ghost Stole Christmas, 90210, Holiday Madness, Oh Holly Night, Melrose Place, Oi to the World, The O.C., The Chrismica Bar Mitzvaka, Westerns, Annie Oakley, Santa Claus Wears a Gun, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, Fifi's First Christmas, Gunsmoke, P.S., Murray, M-U-R-R-Y, Christmas, Baywatch, Silent Night, Baywatch Night, The fall guy, escape clause, leverage, the ho-ho-ho job, nowhere man, it's not such a wonderful life, October road, deck the howls, relatively, unsilent night, or relativity, and you get the idea. There were 27 pages of this stuff. If you look at this, you go, well, is that what Christmas is about? There's a lot of sarcasm in there, isn't there? Unholy night, something like that, season's greetings. You would think that Christmas was really something not so good. And what does a yellow truck have to do with Christmas? One of those titles of one of those programs in there. So if you came from far away and you came here and you went to Hollywood, Hollywood really has no clue as to what Christmas is about. Now, that wasn't always the case. If you go back, for instance, when I was young, God was talked about regularly. There would be programs, some of them that I was reading, Touched by an Angel. There were programs on there that it speaks of Christ and His love and that type of thing. The gospel would go out. Charlie Brown Christmas, I am surprised that it has survived all of these years, because, I mean, they're quoting scripture in there. He stands up and the lights dim and one light's on Linus as he reads from the Gospel of Luke. And you're just going, wow! And the kids remember that. And Charlie Brown, he has his own issues. You know, he has to go see a psychiatrist. But this idea, the meaning of Christmas is spelled out. It's not that way anymore. Whether you turn on some ABC television and the 25 days of Christmas, and you get everything that Christmas is not on there. Well, what about, since we have so many countries that celebrate this, what about the different religions of the world? Could you go to the different religions and get the meaning of Christmas from them? Well, I can read to you a few things here. Do Buddhists celebrate Christmas? Many Buddhists believe that Jesus was the high bodhisattva, or manifestation of enlightened mind. There is also some evidence that in the lost years, Jesus traveled to the East and studied Buddhism. Certainly, you can't get any more Buddhist than the traditional Christmas message of peace on earth, goodwill to all. Of course, that is taken out of context, because what the verse actually says is, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. There is no peace for men that don't have God's favor. They are destined for destruction. And so the Buddhists have taken this and they have twisted it and said, oh, I've been on a ski lift trying to witness to a Buddhist right next to me, the captive audience going up. And he said, oh, we're just the same. And I said, no, we're not the same. You believe that there's this oneness that everybody will participate in becoming one with. And I said, that's not what Christianity believes at all. We believe in sin, and there's destruction and wrath that comes as a result of sin, and you need a Savior. And he was kind of perplexed by the end of the trip, but I told him how to get saved, and I scooted off and skid down the hill, and he was still standing there for a minute. I don't know what was going on. But the Buddhists, they don't celebrate Christmas. They don't have really the concept of what it's all about. Well, what about the Muslim religion, Islam? They don't celebrate Christmas at all. The moderate Muslims, they're okay if you want to celebrate it yourself, but they don't celebrate it. They do something called Eid, E-I-D. It's a single day, and Muslims are not permitted to fast that day. The holiday celebrates of the 29 or 30 days of dawn to sunset fasting during the entire month of Ramadan. So they have this time of fasting, and they believe that they have to treat their bodies poorly in order that it might be pleasing to Allah. But then when that ends, they have this time of celebration. And this last year, it was August to September. I think it ended on September 16th. And that's what they celebrate. They do believe that Jesus was a prophet, but they do not believe that He was God. And they would reject Christianity in its entirety, even though they don't read about what Jesus said, which is in the Bible. They simply believe He is a prophet. But when you tell them the words of the prophet Jesus, they will reject it. They will say, no, this is not true. And that's whenever I witness to a Muslim, that's what I do. I say, have you ever read the words of the prophet Jesus? I said, you can find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I invite you to read that. And sometimes they just reject it out of hand. Sometimes they say, well, I'll consider it. Okay, so you have the Buddhist, you have the Muslims. Well, what about the Jews? Do the Jews celebrate Christmas? I'll tell you, there's a little bit of hostility with some of the Jews in the United States because we think, well, it's a celebration for you too. And they go, no, it's not a celebration for me too. They celebrate Hanukkah. Now, Judas Maccabeus was involved in this revolt against Antiochus Epiphanes, and what happened was they were under this Hellenistic culture, and they were forcing it upon them, and the Jews decided, we don't want any of this, and so Antiochus Epiphanes came and was oppressing them and decided to desecrate their temple, slaughtered a pig on the altar and scattered pig's blood all through the temple, and that is, for the Jew, that is the worst of sins that you can commit. And so they rose up and they conquered their oppressors and they wanted to rededicate the temple. Well, they only had enough oil to light the menorah for one day. But miraculously, the oil lasted for 8 days. And so they called this the Festival of Lights or Hanukkah. And I think it's over now for them, but it's in the same December, time of December. And each day they'll light one of the candles, and a traditional Jew would set that in his window so that you can see it out there. Now, if you go back, there's this tradition of setting some candles, especially as we'll get into in a moment, the celebration of the solstice. They would put up candles, and that would be welcoming the longer days. Matter of fact, we just passed our shortest day on the winter solstice, December 21st, and now the days are going to start getting longer from this point out. But it starts getting colder from here because the earth goes, oh, it's getting really cold, and it takes a while to warm it up. Kind of like when you get in a car and you flip that thing on, you're cold for a little while until it gets going. That's what they used to celebrate with the winter solstice. So the Jews, they celebrate Hanukkah, but they don't celebrate Christmas. They reject Jesus Christ as Messiah and even as prophet. They don't like to discuss it very much because, you know, Jesus was a thorn in their side. The leaders of the Jews, they rejected him completely. What do they do on Christmas? Well, I was reading about it. It's like Jewish Tradition 101. There's a website that has it. It's called jewfact.org, J-E-W-F-A-Q, which is Frequently Asked Questions. Well, what do they do on Christmas? According to Justice Elena Kagan, one of the things that a lot of Jews do is they go out for Chinese food on Christmas because the Chinese do not celebrate Christmas either. And so they'll go out for Chinese food. And that's a big tradition in the Jewish community. And they'll also go to what's called a matzah ball. They go and dance. They'll have dances. They go to this dance, you know, the Jewish families, and they'll have a celebration. They'll go to a movie. Many movie theaters are open on Christmas Day, particularly in the afternoon. They'll also get together with family, or they'll go to work. They'll totally disregard the holiday completely. And so they celebrate Hanukkah, and they'll do other things, but they do not celebrate Christmas. So far, the world religions, they don't celebrate Christmas. We can't go there if we're a stranger to this land or what Christmas is all about. But what about the non-religious world? Now, that's most of us in the United States. If we look to them, how they celebrate Christmas and what they do as traditions, might we get some insight as to the true meaning of Christmas? Well, here's the non-religious holiday. Now, some of this I've talked about before. There is the winter solstice. The origins of that go all the way back to Babylon. And it is a bunch of pagan celebrations surrounding this, like, for instance, the celebration of the Christmas tree, putting up the Christmas tree. The Celts, who viewed the earth in an anthropomorphic sense as feminine, they would take an evergreen and they would put it into their house and they would decorate it with different things, you know, and they would stick it on there and they would just say, oh, it's great, it's a green tree. Of course, they would say it with either a French or a Gaelic accent, because that's where they resided, was in that area. They're the ones responsible for Stonehenge, you know, that place where a bunch of New Agers show up every year and they honor the solstices. There was probably a whole group of them there 2 days ago. And so they would do that. They would take the Christmas tree and put it up in their home and decorate it with colored paper, toys, and food. Candles were sometimes used as well. So it goes back several hundred years. And then there's this idea of the Yule log, and there's different meanings of this. The Celts would depict the soon end of winter, and they would burn this log. But there was also this tradition. I got to read this verbatim here. It says, when I read this, let me explain, all right? The ashen faggot, sometimes called ashen fagot, in an old English Christmas tradition from Devon and Somerset, similar to that of the Yule log and related to the wassail tradition. Now, what did I just say? They would take a log, and they would take these ashen wickets. Now, a wicket, if you take an ash tree and you cut the ash tree, what's going to happen is it's going to put out these shoots that come out, lots of them. It's going to put out lots of shoots. And they would take those and they would use those for different things like baskets. And they would make some weaving things. It was a good switch if somebody was being disobedient. You know, they would take that and use the switch on them. But they would take that, and the virgins would take these wickets, and they would wrap them around the log. Now, they've made some pretty big Yule logs, some up to 6 feet. And if you, as a virgin, took that and you wrapped it around the log as they were dry, they would break and pop in the fire. And if yours popped first, you get married the next year. And so they would put in this Yule log, and all the virgins would be standing around waiting, and they'd watch their little thicket around this, the wicket around this log, and if it snapped, woohoo, and they'd be so happy, and they'd run off, and that was part of the Christmas celebration, the Yule log. And it also represents warmth, you know, you can get around there. Have you ever seen one of those cakes that are a Yule log? Have you ever seen some of the, they sell those, and they don't do it so much here, but in Germany it was real big, and you'd get a cake that looks like a log. And you would eat that. It's a Yule log. You know, and they bring it to you and you get to participate in the Yule log. It has nothing to do with the Bible whatsoever. Nothing going on. The idea of mistletoe. There's so many different things connected with mistletoe. The Druids ascribed magical powers to it. It was thought it could be used for the treatment of sterility. It could be used as an antidote, but by the way, it's poisonous. The seeds are highly poisonous, but they had their own views as to what this was. According to Pliny the Elder, he was an early church father, the Celts considered it a remedy for barrenness in animals and an antidote to poison. So it's like bloodletting in this country, in the first century of this country, you know, in the 1700s, 1800s. They would let you out your blood because they thought, well, the blood's bad, so we got to let out the blood, and you'll be better after the blood replenishes itself. It usually killed the person when they let out the blood. And so mistletoe, and then it became later associated where you hang it, and you get to steal a kiss, right? If somebody walks up, I can remember my wrestling coach doing this in college. Yeah, he came in there, we're all standing around there, it was after a judo class or something, and he walks in, he has this mistletoe, and he hangs it over this girl's head sitting right next to me and goes, like that, and he goes, kiss her. And I go, oh, come on, Art, what are you doing? His name was Art. And so I kissed her. It wasn't so bad, you know, and so after you do that, though, you're to pull off a seed. After you kiss, you're supposed to pull off the seed, and when the seeds are all pulled, that mistletoe loses its power, and you're supposed to discard it. And so that came several hundred years ago, but that's a tradition that's out there. And then there's this idea of the presence of the wreath. Wreaths have been throughout history. In ancient Rome, they used to hang them on poles that would be up there. They would put them on the head of the Olympians as a reward. There would be holly wreaths. There would be, I forget the different types. You can have evergreen wreaths. It came to be known by some as the circle of life. It could be related to in Christendom as the eternity of God. It just continues. It never ends. And we hang those on our doors, and they're just a decoration, and it comes all the way from Babylon and all the way from the Celts several hundred years ago, several centuries ago. And so also the god Apollo is shown often wearing a wreath on his head, and there's some folklore associated with that. Again, it has nothing to do with the Bible. The celebrating the presence of our presence of lights on our house. The thing that the pagans used to do, they would put candles around their house. And we're just continuing that by putting lights around the house. And we think it's pretty. Again, Jesus never said, thou shalt hang lights from your tree on Christmas. And of course, you know about the wassailing. Now, when they would do the Yule log and the virgins would be there, they'd be waiting for their wicket to snap. When one would snap, it's a drinking game. Oh, it snaps! Oh, and they'd take a drink and they'd put it down. And when another one would snap, they'd take another drink. And so by the time the Yule log had burned, they were sauced. They were completely sauced. And that may be what you do in your house too. That's a great tradition. You know, you don't want to be doing that. That's not a good idea to pick that up. But wassailing, that's what you did. You made merry. You had some ale or some strong drink, and you went out and you just made life happy, and you sang songs and carried on and wassailed. That's where they get wassailing from. And it's probably not a tradition that you'll find in the Bible. It's one that's outside the Bible. Celebrating the presence of Saint Nicholas. Now, Saint Nicholas, in cartoon form, was created by Thomas Nast. He was a real individual. That was in 1863, but it depicted the real Saint Nicholas, who would especially be given to acts of kindness, acts of benevolence. He provided a dowry for 3 bags of gold for 3 virgins, I guess, gave that to them. And that's when you go to a pawn shop, you'll see these 3 bronze balls that are hanging there. That actually comes from the practice of Saint Nicholas of giving a sack, 3 sacks of gold to these 3 virgins to take care of them. And so he was known for his kindness and generosity. He was a saint by the Catholic Church. He was a Christian, and because of the love in his heart, he just gave to others. That's what he did. Now that kind of embodies what Christmas is about. Santa Claus is still acceptable to most of the people in the United States today. There's a small bit of people that don't like him because he's a saint. And, you know, you can do what you want to with that, but just because he's associated with Christendom, they want to divest Christmas of all of that. On Facebook, I noticed at least one person who had walked away from the Christian faith posted a posting that said, Happy Solstice or something like that. And that's what it said on there. There's no mention of Christ, no mention of Santa Claus. It's just a new time of year coming around. The nativity scene, that is something that it comes from the Bible, but it's not accurate in most forms. If you see the 3 wise men there, they didn't come until 2 years later. It was just Mary and Joseph and the animals and the shepherds. They showed up and then they left, and it was just Joseph and Mary. And you can imagine Mary, oy vey, I'm hungry, you know, can you? And Joseph, I'm trying, Mary, help. You could imagine what was going on being in a stable or a cave, as it were. So it is a creation of ours, and that was done in Christendom, and that's okay. It reminds us of what is there. I'm nothing against it. I like them. I think I have one in my house. I don't know if it's up this year. I haven't looked around because I've been so busy. But we have them, and it's okay. And I think Santa Claus is okay. And I think if you want to put up a tree, have at it. Whatever you do with your right hand, do with all your might. But there are some people that will say, well, with a tree, well, it's like honoring this tree. Look, I don't honor the tree. And I don't know of any, do you know of anybody in the United States that puts up their tree light some candles, steps back, and whoa. Do you know anybody like that? I don't know anybody. And I don't mean to make fun or light of those who don't want a tree. If you don't want a tree, that's okay. Do it with all your might. Turn off your house, make it black every night. I don't care what you do with that. It's just my opinion, but you are free to do what you want in that respect. But these things, mostly from the world, they are not from the Bible. They are not Christendom. They are not part of Christ. It's cultural. We bring all these things in culturally. So, well, what about Christmas? What is it? And how are we supposed to celebrate it then? Primarily, as a Christian, what are we supposed to do with Christmas when the whole world is participating? At least some of the world does not because of a religious affiliation. Hollywood has no clue. So what are we supposed to do as believers? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in the seat in front of you. I'm going to give you some scriptures here. You should probably write some of these down, especially when I get to one section. We have about 9 minutes left here. So what is Christmas and how should we celebrate it? Well, you have to understand what it is first. And it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. And you say, well, I don't remember seeing Christmas in the book of Genesis. For the Christian, Christmas is about Jesus, the Christ Mass. It's the Mass of Christ. It celebrates Jesus Christ. The fact that he would come here, that's what we're recognizing in Christmas. In Genesis chapter 3, this is the first mention that God would be showing up for us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. This is after the fall, and God himself delivers a curse. He says, so the Lord God said, in verse 14, to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That is referring to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, where Satan comes in and it says, and you will strike his heel and he will crush your head. Satan's head is going to be crushed. When you crush somebody's head, they're done for. When you take out a heel, they're only injured. So Jesus Christ is prophesied to show up, and he's going to crush the devil and be injured in the process. And he, of course, he was crucified. Now, why is it that Jesus had to come? Why didn't God just take care of this some other way? Why didn't he do something else? I'd like you to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Now, here's something that you probably were not aware of, that this leads to the reason why Jesus came in incarnate form, why he became a man. There are other reasons. He had to become the sacrifice for us. Most of you know the story, how his blood had to be spilled for the remission of sins. And his blood is able to cover a multitude of sins. We get that, and wash us clean and make us white as snow. But there's another primary reason why it was Jesus becoming a man, God becoming a man. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, it says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, and this is Moses speaking, from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God or see this great fire anymore or we will die. If you recall what's going on here, they landed at Mount Horeb and God decides to show up. He's right there. Did I say Horeb? Hear voice of the Lord. Yeah, God at Horeb. God shows up and he's going to talk to the people. And the mountain is rumbling. I need to read it to you. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. Turn over there, please. This is what's going on. The people are all there. They're waiting to hear God and what's going on. The people get scared. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud cover over the mountain. When a very loud trumpet blast, When I read this, I'll tell you what I think of. Of all things, I think of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when the ship comes in and it goes, like, and everything blows out and everyone, whoa, what's going on? That's the kind of trumpet blast that was probably there. It was so loud, it was completely frightening to the people. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain, it was Mount Sinai, and covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. So the people are just, they're going, this is crazy. The mountain is just shaking. There is this lightning and thunder and a black cloud, and Moses talks to God, and God answers. Could you imagine being there? I probably would have fainted right on the site. And they said, we don't want to hear that anymore. And so according to Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses tells them, okay, since you don't want to hear God speak, I'm going to send to you another prophet because this is what you asked for. So Jesus came in human form because the Jews were so afraid of God just speaking with his majesty. It would have been cool but frightful all at the same time. And so that's why Jesus comes as an incarnate being. Now, again, he does come as the sacrifice, all of that. So why was it necessary that Jesus comes? He has to be the sacrifice. He comes in human form because the Jews are afraid of God when he speaks in all of his majesty and glory. For what purpose? I'm just going to give you the Romans road real quickly. This is the purpose. Romans, and you might write these down if you don't have it. Romans 3:10 states, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, we are told, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. So it tells us about sin. It goes on in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is a penalty for being under the tutelage of sin. Sin will cause us to be judged by God, and we are all sinners, and we know that sin came to all of us through Adam, who originally sinned. Then, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he took the penalty for us. In Romans 10:9 through 13, actually verse 13 says, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. So that penalty we're under, that we will be judged for our sin and condemned to hell, he says that we will be saved if we call on his name. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. That's why Jesus came. That's why it's such a blessed thing. That's why when you celebrate Christmas, if you don't pray, if you don't mention Jesus Christ, if you do nothing associated with Christ and the salvation he brings, we are simply celebrating a pagan holiday. That's all we're doing. Something cultural in the United States. You get to brave the cars at the malls and get through there and all the people, and they want this and they don't want that. And you get to these people. It'd be so much easier without them, wouldn't it? But God loves all of them. And he says, I want to save as many as want to be saved. And how did he do that? We remember when he got here. That's what we're doing. In Micah, it was prophesied, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And this is repeated in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. That's when Jesus is born, the one who brings us the salvation. It is a gift of salvation. That's why we give gifts to others. That's why we present grace to others and we offer them mercy, because God did that for us. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Let's not just do the cultural things, which they're fine. As long as you're doing with the proper motives, as long as you're not worshiping the tree or worshiping the Yule log or ingesting the mistletoe, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's fine if you want to do all that. But please don't celebrate Christmas without recognizing the gift of Jesus Christ himself, especially with your unsaved family members. They come in. Do you have this problem? They come in. Honey, we got to pray for the food. I know, but nobody's here as a believer. What do we do? You say, can I pray for the food? And they'll go, by all means, go ahead. And they'll let you pray. Lord, may all the people in this room come to know you and the saving grace that you have, and they can have a testimony and they can shed abroad the love of God that you have put in my heart and everybody else's heart. You can just go off. And they're going to go, okay, yeah, that's great. And then you say, wow, it's just wonderful, isn't it, that we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It's great. It's fantastic. And the salvation that he gives us, I know that when I die, I'm not going to die forever. He's going to resurrect me. I'm going to get a new body. I get to go to heaven. And there's going to be no more sorrow, no pain, no crying, no anything. Isn't that great? Let's eat. And you go over to the food and you get the food. You can be that witness. So that's what it's about. That's what Christmas is about. Please don't neglect that. Please open up the Bible, Luke chapter 2. Read it to your kids before you open up all the presents. And I know kids are excited. They're running through the house. Dad, what? Dad, I'm here. And they wake you up and they bring you in. And it's all fun. It's all joy. It's all good. But please don't forget Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you giving you thanks that you enlighten us, that you give us this gift of salvation. Help us to remember this when it comes to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Help us not to neglect the mentioning of our Messiah, our Savior, and what he has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.